Lupton runs the world's largest pool fence company from his electric wheelchair. Eric has cerebral palsy, which presents symptoms almost identical to near drowning victims. And having started at the company in an administrative and marketing capacity years ago, Eric has now been featured as an expert in two New York Times bestsellers on writing effective marketing copy. And his thoughts on online marketing have been quoted by publications, including the Wall Street Journal and USA Today. As we prepare to delve into a conversation on the topic at hand, being a lifesaver of thousands of folks, here's an exciting twist. Let us tickle the brain of Eric first. So Eric, get ready for a rapid fire round of random words. I'm going to mention a few and I would love to hear the first thing that comes to your mind in response without thinking much. Are you ready for it?
I am ready. So you're going to give me a rapid fire of random words and you want the first word that comes to my mind. Is that correct?
Exactly. So I'm going to mention 10 different words, one at a time, so you can respond as and when things come to your mind. Okay, here comes my first word. Curiosity.
Curiosity killed the cat.
Invention? Yeah.
Necessity is the mother of invention.
Awesome. And future?
Future is exciting.
Book?
Book. My favorite self-help book is Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss, which is a book about negotiating.
Nice. And movie?
Top Gun.
Food.
Pasta.
Pasta. And place?
Place. I've spent my entire life living in Boynton Beach, Florida. It's my favorite place.
Mm-hmm. Name other than Eric?
That's a good question. Chris, my brother.
Animal.
I like dogs. Big fan of dogs.
Yeah, even I'm a big fan of dogs. And the last one is world.
World?
Yeah.
Peace. World peace.
World peace. Awesome. And that's a great rapid fire. And thank you so much for participating so sportively, Eric. So, folks, welcome to the Guiding Voice podcast series, where we embark on transformative conversations for a better future. I'm your host, Navin Samala, dedicated to making the world a better place through valuable discussions that add value not only to your life, but also to your career. Thank you so much for tuning in. And Eric, hearty welcome to the Guiding Voice. Super thrilled to host you. And ever since I got your profile, I've been waiting for this conversation to happen. And I'm glad that we are on it today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Eric, let's start our conversation. Maybe you can share a bit about yourself and your journey in becoming the president of Lifesaver Pool Fence.
Sure. How far back do you want me to go? We can go back to 80 or 16. Where would you like? You
know? I'll give you 2.5 minutes and you can see how far you can go.
Gotcha. Fair enough. So, as I mentioned, I in the rapid fire portion, I grew up right here in Boynton Beach, Florida. Boynton Beach is about an hour north of Miami. And I've actually lived in the same neighborhood, in the same development for my entire life. I've been in 4 different houses here, but I've just stayed in this one little spot for forever. I've traveled everywhere. I've been to Europe and Hawaii and all over the place. But I've only lived right here, and I love it here. It's nice to have your roots in one place. But I grew up here. My family had a family business that they started called Lifesaver Pool Fence. My parents started the company in the garage that I grew up in, and the garage was just big enough that my dad could make the pool fence in the garage. So my mom would stay up all night long, and she would sew the border material onto the mesh. And then, you know, he would make the fence during the day and they would run the business together that way for years. And eventually they got a warehouse and they grew a little bit. But in the meantime, I dropped out of high school eventually. I was a high school dropout. I started a web design company in high school with a couple friends of mine. And I got really into internet marketing and that kind of thing. You mentioned the two New York Times bestsellers that I was featured in about writing online marketing copy. And then, yeah, after I dropped out of high school, I started working in the office for my parents. And, you know, fast forward 4 or 5 years, and about 21 years old, my mom had already retired, and my dad decided he was going to let me run it completely. And that seemed like a good idea at the time, because I was 21 years old, and we think we know everything at 21. But in retrospect, it's a terrible idea to let a 21-year-old run a business. I did not know what he was thinking. It was an awful idea. But maybe he knew something. I don't, because it seems to have worked out. Since then, we've grown, you know, over, you know, 12, 13 times in revenue since wow. I took it over. And yeah, it's a very different business now from the one that that dad kind of gave me the reins to. But it's been exciting.
Super. I think your dad had the leap of faith assumption, and most importantly, he recognized your talent.
Yeah, apparently, yeah.
Awesome. And that's so inspiring. Like growing 12-13-fold is not that easy. And this brings me to my next question about your success mantra. Please share with our audience the top three things that have attributed to your success so far.
The top three things that I've attributed to my success so far. I think those would be, first off, I think is kind of an unrelenting positivity. I just always believe that there is a solution and that things are going to be okay one way or another. I don't get upset often. I tend to almost always be in a good mood. Very rarely am I unhappy about something. And if I am, it tends to be pretty short term. I don't get mad, really. I don't get angry. It's just not part of my personality. And I tend to usually see things from a positive point of view. Just today, we lost a big sale. A guy who has said he was going to, purchase a new franchise area, he'd already given us the money and everything. He changed his mind last minute. And I was kind of like, you know what? Better off, probably for the best. You know, I think it's probably okay. You know, there's other prospects, and, we'll get the next one. And we probably didn't want this person anyways, because the way they changed their mind. So it's probably better off. But yeah, that's always been part of my deal. Also, I think I have an excellent creative problem solving.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I have a really innate ability that I've practiced and honed over time to solve problems in creative ways, which I think has helped quite a bit. And then last, and this is one I've been discovering recently. I never thought of myself this way, but the evidence is kind of overwhelming. It seems that, you know, good people who are intelligent and honorable and have a great moral compass want to be in my universe, right? The right kind of people want to be, you know, affiliated with what I'm doing for whatever reason, whether it's my personality or my actions, you know, I've been able to attract, you know, great people, who want to work with us. And I don't think I quite realized, how often that was happening until recently, but we've just had one person after another join the company, and a lot of them join it because of, you know, of what I've got going on. So I think that, I didn't realize how important that was until very recently, but I think that's part of it as well.
I think you have a charismatic leadership. At least I see some positive vibes the moment we started this conversation. That could be drawing all positive people towards you for sure.
Thank you. You're the second person to use those exact words recently, so it must be true.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't fake it all, because I'm kind of very straightforward, to the point, and I don't like beating around the bush. And what I feel here, it comes from here. That's it. Okay, let's move forward and talk about the core of today's topic. Like, when it comes to droning, it's a sobering leading cause of death for children under 4. And could you elaborate on the significance of this issue, and also probably some stats around this? How big are the numbers, and why should we be really caring about it?
Yeah, like you said, you know, drowning is the number one cause of death for children between the ages of 1 and 4 years old. So it beats out everything else. It beats out car accidents. It beats out diseases. You know, nothing prevents more children from making it to their first day of kindergarten than drowning. You know, if a child doesn't have a fifth birthday party, the most likely reason why is because they drown in a backyard swimming pool. So yeah, it's a huge problem. And for some reason, it doesn't get the attention it deserves. So I appreciate you asking about it. You know, the more times that information can get transmitted to the universe, I think is a good thing.
Yeah.
And so for some statistics, you know, most parents don't realize that, you know, in almost 70% of drowning cases, it was a parent who was responsible for watching the child. But things happen, right? Do you have any children?
Yeah, I do have two children, okay, 14 and 8.
So you know then, it's chaotic, right? Especially if they're small, if they're between 1 and 5 years old, right? They're running around, you've got two. So, you know, the 8-year-old can run in the house with a bloody nose, and the 2-year-old is, you know, got toilet paper all over the bathroom. Like, anything could be happening. And so, you know, it's very easy to lose track of one or to not be watching one all the time. There was one study that said that in 77% of drowning cases, the child was last seen inside the house, nowhere near the pool, 5 minutes before they were found out in the backyard in the pool. So you can imagine that scenario, right? 5 minutes is not a long time. Because there's another statistic that says that lots of children who drowned were last seen in their room sleeping. So you can imagine going and checking on your child. They're in bed, they're asleep. You leave the room, you go wash some dishes, you know, clean up in the kitchen. You go back to the bedroom 5 minutes later, which is no time at all. And they're not in the room, and they in that time they've made it out of their bed, they've made it into the backyard, and they've drowned. So that's not a scenario that any parent can do, right? There's no way to combat that from a supervision point of view, which is why we recommend, you know, multiple layers of protection. You know, you want to have installed multiple layers of protection to help you keep your child as safe as possible. And yeah, we can go through those if you like, but that's, we believe that the solution to drowning is those multiple layers of protection.
Yeah, I think this is, this makes me a little emotional because when it comes to kids under the age group of 4, they start playing right in front of us. And if there is no enough protection, anything could happen. And recently in India, we had some heavy rainfall this monsoon, and there was a manhole cover up the drainage sewage open, and the kid was under 4 years, and the he was playing right in front of it, and there was huge rain, and he suddenly went out and he slipped into it, and it was such a heartbreaking incident, and I don't know how parents are able to bear that, but these are something really saddening events, and you guys are doing some amazing job in terms of protecting children from drowning. So it is something probably I'm assuming like you guys are all born for a cause, right, wherein you're protecting lives of children around the globe, which is nice. And now let's talk about you. In fact, I'm really inspired by the spirit and the positivity that you have been demonstrating, right? So you manage all these responsibilities while living with cerebral palsy, which is a significant one. And how has this journey of overcoming challenges influenced your approach to life and work?
Yeah, it's a good question. And so, like you mentioned, I have cerebral palsy. So that's a disability that you typically acquire during childbirth. So in my case, it was a brain aneurysm that affected me right when I was being born. And it's, like you mentioned earlier, the symptoms are often similar to that of a non-fatal drowning victim. There's it's caused by a lack of oxygen. So the root causes are very similar. So yeah, I need help with things like, you know, bathing and dressing and, you know, cutting up food or, you know, those kinds of, you know, really normal day-to-day tasks. I use an electric wheelchair. I can't walk. So yeah, it's a rather significant, effect on my life. But, you know, as far as the work goes, you know, there's sort of a lot of challenges, but I think, you know, like I mentioned earlier, one of the most important parts of being an entrepreneur, of owning a business, of running a business, one of your main jobs is solving problems, right? Is being able to overcome challenges and solve problems. And I've had so much practice, right? Everything I do is a unique challenge that needs to be solved. And because, you know, my cerebral palsy, like everybody with a disability, is unique, I'm solving problems unique to me all the time. You know, no one has ever had to figure out how to, you know, type on a keyboard with my hands before, because the way I do it is special. I haven't been able to lean on other people for advice or go on YouTube and watch a video for a lot of things. Everything I do, I have to kind of solve on my own. And that muscle, the more you exercise it, it gets better and better. And so, so I think I've been able to apply that problem solving and that tenacity and that ability to overcome challenges to my work. And I think it's been very helpful.
And by the way, problem solving is one of the hottest skills in the market today. It is going to be there forever, right? I think you possess one of those great skills that are required forever. Awesome, Eric. And as I mentioned earlier, this has been phenomenal. And you have been involved with the Lifesaver since 1997 and have held various roles. How has your journey from administrative work to becoming the president has influenced the company's growth and mission? And you said you have grown 12x to 13x from the time you have taken over, right? So what are the key milestones or any turning points in this particular last 23, 24 years that you may want to highlight?
Sure. When my dad had me come into the office, so I used to come in and work in the summer during the summer break from school, right? When I was younger, 13, 14, 15, right? And then, so when I dropped out of high school, he had me come in full time and I started working in the office, and I was, making minimum wage or maybe less than minimum wage. And I was, answering the phones, and because of my internet background, I was helping with the stuff with the website, and I was doing that kind of stuff. And I was very fortunate that I got to work with my parents. They'd have been in business a long time. They taught me everything I knew at the time about running a business, and it was very much ingrained in us. Being business owners, being entrepreneurs was part of our family identity. It was in the blood, right? This is something we did. And the ways we did it were important. That we did things correctly, we paid our bills on time. We treated our employees with respect. We weren't one of the bad guys. So we did everything in an honorable and correct fashion. And so that was very early on that was impressed on us. But going through the process, I think it was kind of gradual. I think I just adopted more and more roles. In the beginning, I was doing. I was processing orders and, forwarding leads and doing payables and receivables and really just all the office work. The office was just me and my dad. It was just two of us. One of us was doing everything, right? And then eventually he retired and then it was just me. And I had another person in the office named Rhonda, and she was, the only person I had for a long time. Besides the warehouse, right? We always had a warehouse full of people making the pool fence and shipping it. But I think the journey is gradual, and now, I've been able over, especially the last 10-ish years or so, I've been able to transition from doing a lot of the work myself to where these days I don't really have a lot of tasks where I'm hands on in the day to day operations of the business. Right? I'm involved in some of the larger, sales calls, right? So I do those and I help run payroll, but outside of those couple things, the day-to-day operations are kind of happening without me. I'm kind of overseeing and, helping guide the path of the company. And I think that's been huge. I think it's what I'm better at. I am not great at detail-oriented stuff. It's not my thing. I'm bad at processing orders. I'm bad at getting back to people by email. I'm not good at this. So thankfully, I've been able to find people smarter than me, better than me, to take over these roles, so I can focus on the only two or three things I am good at, which has been good. But I think that's been the biggest milestone or transition is being able to get the right people around me and help build a team. And that's been huge.
Awesome. And what are your aspirations for the future of drowning prevention? And are there any upcoming projects or initiatives that you and your team are excited about?
Yeah, I mean, the goal, our goal is to eradicate childhood drowning. You know, right now, as I mentioned, drowning is the number one cause of death for children between 1 and 4 years old. And, you know, there's a drowning organization who says their goal is not one more. And I don't know if we'll ever get to not one more, but I would definitely like it to stop being number one, or at least in the top 10. You know, that would be terrific. I would love for drowning to become something rare and exceptional and something you almost never hear about, but it happens very rarely. That would be the goal. And I think one way you do that is you protect every pool on earth, right? Every swimming pool has a pool fence around it. Every pool fence has an alarm. Every home has high locks, and all the doors and windows lead to the pool, and there's alarms on those doors and windows. And every home has multiple layers of protection. I think that's how you get there. And so we're working on that. And we recently launched our franchise program. Mm-hmm. So we are currently recruiting amazing people around the country who want to start their own Lifesaver pool fence franchise to sell and install Lifesaver pool fencing in their local areas around the United States. And we started that this year, and it's been taking off like crazy. So we're currently in 30 states throughout the United States, and we're growing all the time.
Awesome. I think that's a great vision, and you guys are working for a strong cause, and I wish more power to you and your team, and I wish you great success in terms of preventing these deaths due to drowning. And really kudos to all the efforts that you guys are putting in, Eric. And this has been phenomenal conversation so far, and it's time to add some more excitement. So get ready, Eric, as we dive into a series of intriguing rapid-fire questions to spice up the episode further. So if you are ready, I'll kick off the second rapid fire. Can we do
it? I am ready. Yes, I can.
Great. So here comes my first bullet. If you could have one gigantic billboard anywhere with anything on it, what would it say?
Oh, the Tim Ferriss question. Not Tim Ferriss. Is it Tim Ferriss? He's the billboard guy, right?
I didn't really go through any of the podcasts for this question, but normally I keep searching for some trending questions as such, but I don't know where the source is, but I keep updating this from time to time.
Yeah, Tim Ferriss is famous for the billboard question. I think my answer to this in the past, I've had two answers. I cheat. One of them is that, show up. If you show up, all you have to do is show up, and everything else kind of works itself out. If you can just show up. Awesome. That's half the battle.
And the next question is, you mentioned you are not detail oriented. And other than that, is there anything that you are really bad at that you wish you were better at?
Oh, there's so many things. I mean, I'm only good at about two or three things. I'm bad at everything else. So I have a terrible memory sometimes. I'm very blunt with people, maybe too blunt, and that can upset people with my direct honesty. I'm probably too trusting. I tend to believe people and take their word for things. I never assume anyone's trying to hurt me anyway. I could go on and on. I have endless flaws that I need to fix.
Again, I appreciate your modesty here for sure. Thank you so much for sharing so candidly. And can you describe yourself in just one word, Eric?
Unique.
Unique. What's your favorite thing about living in the 21st century?
Oh, we're living in the future, right? The future is happening right before us. And and it's moving fast. I mean, ChatGPT and AI, and I had a demo yesterday where we were looking at robots that we were going to bring into our warehouse to do some manufacturing for us and to help us do some automated tasks. And and this demo is happening across the country, right? The salesman is in California. The guy doing the demo is in Idaho and in the United States. And they're thousands of miles apart. And he's showing me a demonstration of a robot that can automate welding aluminum. right? It's crazy. So yeah, I mean, we're living in the future. It's amazing.
Nice. Concur with you. And if you could have any superpower, what would it be and why?
You know, I'm a big fan of superheroes. I don't know if you can see behind me, there's a
yeah. Oh, I was able to ask there. You actually, yeah.
Yeah. I'm a big fan. So I've gone back and forth. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think I've got, if you don't mind, I think I'll give you two answers.
Sure.
I think one would be to live as long as I want,
mm-hmm.
Healthily, to live, you know, 500 years or 1,000 years or whatever it is, and be healthy the whole time. That would be great. Well, you know, some kind of immortality, I think, would be really great. But the other one, I think, would be able to, I'd like to read minds. I want to know what people are thinking and how to, you know, better influence them.
Yeah, but reading mind probably might not be a good idea, because we'll get to know all the bad things.
You would, but maybe you start to realize that everybody's got bad things, you know, so.
Interesting, quite interesting. And the last bullet for the rapid fire is, what is one electronic gadget or a fantasy gadget that you would like to see or invent yourself?
I've always said I wanted to invent wireless electricity.
So wireless electricity.
So right now we have a wireless phone, but you have to plug it in, right? Or if you have a light fixture, it has to be connected to your wall, or your TV has to be against the wall because it's plugged in, right? I think just the internet doesn't have to be plugged in anymore. I think eventually electricity will be the same way, where there won't be any more plugs.
Fantastic. I love the idea. I think this is something probably aspiring entrepreneurs can take it up as a startup idea and work on it. But brilliant, brilliant, really brilliant, Eric.
It is.
All right. So let's flip back to the mainstream. And what will be your one piece of advice to those aspiring to make big in their careers or train as an entrepreneur? You can pick any one of them.
So if you're looking to make a big change as an entrepreneur, right? Like affect the world in a big way, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I think, you know, the most important thing is to, and this has been said 1,000 times, and I apologize because the advice sounds so cliche, but it's so true though, is the only way you can make a big change is if you care so much about it that you don't ever want to stop doing it. And if you love it and you're passionate about it, people can tell, and people will be drawn to that. You know, and I think, you know, we talked about people being, you know, drawn to my business and what we do. I think it's because they can tell how much I love the company and seeing it be successful and how much I care about drowning prevention and water safety. And because of that, you know, I don't mind working on my days off, and you know, I don't mind taking calls late at night, and you know, I'm always happy to do what I have to do because I love it and I care about it more than anything.
Mm-hmm. Awesome, very nice, and I loved every bit of it. And before I let you go, how is your experience being hosted on the Guiding Voice platform, Eric?
It's been terrific. Thank you so much.
And I loved every bit of the conversation.
Much for being part of our journey, and really appreciate you taking time and inspiring our audience with wonderful messages. And you have been great, great inspiration to me and my community. And more power to you. And I wish to invite you again in future. Thank you once again.
Of course.
It was a pleasure talking to you.
I'd be happy to. Thank you so much. All right, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And have a good rest of
the day. Gonna kill my...
Yeah.
All right, man.
I can't hear you for some reason, so...
Take care.
So friends, that was our inspiring episode with Eric Lupton. And before we jump into the fun trivia section, we have a quick request. If you haven't already, request you to subscribe to our podcast. And because subscribing keeps you updated on new episodes. And if you have enjoyed this episode and found the conversation useful, request you to share with at least 3 of your friends or colleagues who would also like the Guiding Voice. Let us spread the knowledge and help others grow just like you. And your support means a lot because it helps us create more content for you and our community. Thank you so much in advance. And let's learn together on this journey. Now let's move into the trivia segment of today's episode. So today we had an enchanting conversation with Eric Lupton on drowning and how his company is helping save the children from drowning. I thought I would present a few more stats about the global impact of drowning. As per a prominent website, drowning claims an estimated 236,000 lives annually worldwide, making it the significant public health concern. And if we consider the age group, and if we consider the age group vulnerability among children aged 1 to 4, drowning is the leading cause of unintentional injury death, accounting for more deaths than traffic accidents. And the third fact is about childhood risk. In the United States, drowning is the second largest leading cause of unintentional injury death for children aged between 1 to 14. This is staggering, isn't it? And at the same time, it is worrying as well. So, I would like to hear from you, what kind of precautions are you guys taking in order to prevent drowning? And are there any best practices that you could share with our community? If so, please feel free to leave a comment on YouTube if you are watching it, the episode there, or if you have found the episode on any social media platform or any audio platform. If you have found this episode on any other audio platform, request you to share your comments on the social media, or you can also email us. That's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in and also for being part of our awesome community. We would love to hear from you. So do not hesitate to share your ideas and feedback either through our social media, or you can also email us at theguidingvoiceforyou@redgmail.com. Let us create content that resonates with you. I'm your host, Navin Samala, a lifelong learner, and my goal is to have impactful conversations that improve not only your life, but also your career. Stay connected as we journey together. And until next time, take care, stay inspired, and remember, the future holds great things because the best is yet to come. Goodbye for now. See you all in the next episode with another amazing guest.